As we have come together to sing carols, let's first give thanks to God. During this Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and became one of us. You humbled yourself and took our nature so that we might share in your glory. Thank you, Lord, that when we were still far off, you came to meet us in your Son to bring us home. So let us pray that we turn from sin and darkness and live in the light of Christ. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and we pray for peace in the world. Where there is war, violence, or famine, we pray that you bring your peace into these situations. Today we pray especially for Syria and Afghanistan. We pray that you bring an end to war and bring healing and forgiveness to those people who are affected by war. Father God, you are the creator of the world, and you have given us this beautiful world to live in. We are sorry when we haven't taken good care of it. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of your world. God, our Heavenly Father, whose love sets no boundaries and whose strength is in service, grant to the leaders of this nation wisdom so that they may rule justly and wisely under you. We pray at this time for the economic crisis that you comfort those who have lost employment or are in fear of losing their employment. We pray for those who have got to make difficult decisions regarding their workplace. Be with them at this time. Lord Jesus, you calm the storms, and we pray for all who are suffering because of the various storms that are going on in their lives. We pray that you be a calm presence in their lives. Today we pray especially for those affected by the storms in the Philippines. Comfort those who are grieving because of the loss of loved ones and those who have lost their homes. We pray for those whom for this year has been a difficult one. We pray that you comfort those who are grieving, those who are depressed and lonely. Bring them your peace. And in the silence, let's bring our own prayers to the Father. And let's pray for those whom we know. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
And the first and the last and the Verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Torches, torches, run with the torches all the way to Bethlehem. Christ is born and now the Lord is sleeping. Come and sing your song to him.
Torches, torches, run with the torches all the way to Bethlehem. Christ is born and now the Lord is sleeping. Come and sing your song to him.
Oh, 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 oh my baby. Oh, 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 oh. Sing, oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
Shakespeare spoke of the seven ages of man, but I have heard another source say that there are three ages of man. The age where he believes in Santa Claus, the age where he no longer believes in Santa Claus, and the age where he has to pretend to be Santa Claus for his children. People stop believing in Father Christmas at different ages. I know of one little girl who went into her reception class and said, "Santa Claus is dead," which, as you can imagine, caused some consternation amongst a group of five-year-olds. Now, to be fair, she had got a bit mixed up with the story of Saint Nicholas being a saint who'd lived a long, long time ago. So that was why she thought that. But to all too many adults, they stop believing in Jesus the same sort of time that they stop believing in Father Christmas. The Bishop of Woolwich was making a television program, and the interviewers asked him, "You don't believe in those Christmas stories, do you?" They couldn't believe that someone could actually believe that the stories were true. Surely they were myths, they were legends, the baby in the stable, and all that kind of thing. But as a historian, I draw a very different conclusion. First of all, when I look at the time that it happened, you see, stories begin and myths and legends start once upon a time, or long ago and far away. But this story doesn't start like that. Luke says very clearly, it was the time of Herod the Great. It was the time of the Emperor Augustus. It was the time when Quirinius was the governor of Syria and held a census. It's history. And Luke knows it's in living memory. He says, "I've talked to the people who know about this story. I've heard eyewitness testimony. So I know it's true, and I want to tell you about it, dear reader, so that you know it's true as well." Now, some say, yes, but it was a long time before Luke. Some say 60 years, some say 80 years. We don't know exactly when he wrote. And that might seem, well, a long time before. But actually, when you think of your own life and the people that you know and the things that you have heard and believe, it's not long at all. I knew a lady, she died, I think, last year or the year before, who told me how she and her village had turned out to watch Queen Victoria ride past in her carriage. She said it was a bit of an anticlimax, actually. This carriage just rode past us on the road as we all stood there and cheered and waved. She told me of a world that now only exists in things like Downton Abbey, although it's actually even earlier than that. Of an age where she and her brothers and sisters, and I've forgotten how many it was exactly, I think she had 6 sisters and 8 brothers, would all have their bath in the kitchen, in the tin bath, in front of the fire. And you couldn't get out of the bathtub until you could recite, word perfect, the collect, the special prayer for the next day, because it was on Saturday night. Now, you can imagine, they didn't change the water, that by the time it came to the oldest brother, each one having been through, must have been pretty grubby. I believe her stories. I believe they're true. Even the one, I am very sorry to say, that she was beaten by the vicar in front of the whole school for having told the teacher a lie. Times have changed, I'm delighted to say. Now, I believe her stories. They had the ring of personal experience and authenticity, even though they are from the time of Queen Victoria and her son Edward. So Luke's gap between when he's writing and telling the story and the eyewitnesses he's spoken to, or the accounts that he's heard, is shorter than that. So I have no problem in believing this is history. Another thing that convinces me is the place. If this story was made up, Luke did a very strange thing. He chose Galilee for the angel to appear in. And he chose Nazareth in Galilee. Now, Galilee didn't have the reputation in those days of being a very holy place. In the verse just before our first reading from Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 1, it calls it Galilee of the Gentiles, because there were so many non-Jews who lived there. It was a place, said a writer of the period, of terrorists and bandits. It was not a very godly sort of place. And Nazareth? Well, when one of Jesus' first followers heard that Jesus came from Nazareth, he said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? My parents retired to a place, well, actually, my father's final job, and then their retirement, was a place called Wisbeach in the Fens. To me, Wisbeach has the place that Nazareth had the thinking of that man, Nathaniel. I apologize if there's anyone, by any chance, who comes from Wisbeach here tonight. But for me, it's all summed up by the fact, why is Wisbeach well known? Why has it appeared on television or radio? Well, I turned on the Today program one morning and heard the announcer say that the town in Britain with the highest crime rate was Wisbeach in Cambridgeshire. This was, you understand, not major crime like bank robberies. It was petty crime because there was nothing else to do in Wisbeach on a Saturday night but wrap the chains of the children's swings around the bar. That's the sort of thing people did for fun in Wisbeach. And then last year, there was a BBC documentary about it. Some of you may even have seen it. About the fact that the locals in Wisbeach who are unemployed wouldn't do the jobs on the fields that the migrant labourers would do. And so the argument about coming over here and taking our jobs didn't really hold up. So, my parents chose Wisbeach. They liked it. I never understood why. God chose Nazareth. And Jesus' friend Nathaniel could never understand why. Could anything good come out of there? If you were writing the story of a baby born as God's Redeemer, God's Messiah, God's Rescuer, you wouldn't start in Nazareth. Just like I suggest you wouldn't start in Wisbeach, but that's my problem. And then there are the people. Mary and Joseph. Who are they? What was their story? Well, we don't know. You heard the start of it. An angel came to Mary, a young woman, a virgin, who was engaged to, betrothed to, a bloke called Joseph, who was a builder. That's all we know. They're not special people. We know nothing about their past. Oh, now, sure, later generations would fill in the gaps. There are myths and legends that tell the story of Mary's amazing childhood and her prodigious ability as a teenager. But they are much later, and they are legendary. We don't know anything about them. They just appear on the stage. And there's also the first witnesses in the story. You heard the story again tonight. Shepherds out in the fields guarding their sheep. Well, again, it's helpful to know the background of the time. Shepherds were notorious characters at the time of Jesus because, you see, they had to spend their time out on the hills with the flocks, and so they didn't get to the temple. So they obviously were not holy people. In fact, the reputation that they had was that they were liars, cheats, and thieves, and it was illegal to buy wool or milk from them because it was bound to be nicked. That was the reputation they had. And so if Luke is making up this story, he is mad. Because the people that he's chosen in his story to be the first witnesses, the first to hear about these amazing events of God coming to earth in his son, are a group of liars and cheats and thieves that nobody would believe. To me, as a historian, this does not have the ring of a story that's made up. It's far too implausible. It has the ring of truth. For me, the only reason that you can conceive of for having this cast of characters in these locations is because, frankly, those were the people and this was the place. And here's the thing. If it really did happen the way that Luke told us and Matthew told us, if it really did happen, then it's the biggest news story ever. It's far, far bigger than Kate Middleton being pregnant. Not that I have any idea whether she is or not. It's far, far bigger than life being discovered on Mars. It's far, far bigger than a cure for cancer being discovered. Although all those things would make the headlines for days and weeks in our national press and on our TV. It's bigger than all those things. Yet the tragedy is that most people in Kingston, in this country, around the world, will miss the point of that massive story. They'll hear it. They'll hear something of it. And yet they won't get the point of it at all. Let me tell you a story about missing the point. This is slightly off tack, but my wife said it's a good story. They'll enjoy it. The following unfortunate review of the book Lady Chatterley's Lover once appeared in the American magazine Field and Stream. Although written many years ago, Lady Chatterley's Lover has just been reissued by the Grove Press. And this pictorial account of the day-to-day life of an English gamekeeper is full of considerable interest to outdoor-minded readers, as it contains many passages on pheasant raising, the apprehending of poachers, ways to control vermin, and other chores and duties of the professional gamekeeper. Unfortunately, one is obliged to wade through many pages of extraneous material in order to discover and savour these sidelights on the management of a Midlands shooting estate. In this reviewer's opinion, the book cannot take the place of J.R. Miller's Practical Gamekeeping. There is someone who's missed the point, who's read the story and totally and utterly missed the point. Here's another one closer to my story. On December the 17th, 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright made the first ever powered flight in Kitty Hawk in North Carolina. Wilbur triumphantly telegraphed home this message: success, four flights Thursday morning, all against 21-mile wind. Started from level with engine power alone, average speed through air 31 miles, longest 57 seconds, inform press, home Christmas, Orville Wright. Their brother Catherine gave their sister Catherine gave the telegram to their brother Lorin, who took it triumphantly to the local newspaper office, the Dayton Journal. The city editor, Frank Junison, read it but wasn't that impressed. So on December the 19th, the local newspaper ran the story on page 6. Wright Brothers Home for Christmas. He missed the point. He heard the story, the world's first powered flight, Home for Christmas, and just picked up the, oh, Home for Christmas. So many people in our town, in our nation, in our world, will hear the story of the baby born in the stable and miss the point. Mary is pregnant with God's own son. This is more than life on Mars. This is God living on earth. This is more than a cure for cancer. This is a cure for death. This is a cure for the universal problem of sin. That's to say, estrangement from God. This is the news that's breaking. And this is the news that so many people miss. But it demands a response. If God has come to earth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, is now here on earth, well, Tom Wright, the Bishop of Durham until recently said, when we are aware of that fact, we cannot be a mere spectator. We are either forced into being a subject or a rebel. We have to choose. When we've heard the news, when we know the story, which are we going to be? Are we a subject who recognizes that the King of Kings has come, that God is here on earth, or are we a rebel? To pick up our last reading, do we react like Herod, who when he hears the baby's come and understands the import of it, says, let's do away with him. I want to be the boss around here. Or like the wise men who find the baby and kneel before him and worship him and offer him their treasures. There is no other choice. Either we kneel before God, born in the manger, and we offer him our lives, or we turn on our heel and walk away and ignore and reject him and say, I want to do it my way and live my life. That's the choice that this story puts before each one of us tonight. It's a tough choice. Many of us have already made it in favor of the baby in the manger. I long for us all to make that choice, because Herod's choice was a sad and lonely and bitter one that led only to emptiness and frustration. The wise men's choice was a wise one as they knelt and worshipped and found their heart's desire and fulfillment in that moment. The songs and the carols that we've sung tonight are written by those who found the meaning of life in the baby in the manger and found fulfillment and satisfaction, found hope and peace and joy. It is my heart's desire and God's heart's desire that each of us find that meaning this Christmas. If you want to know a little more, then Sylvester, my colleague who's been leading the service, and I each have a little booklet, What's the Point of Christmas, that we'd be delighted to give you. But my hope, my prayer, is that this Christmas you too will kneel before the manger and find the joy, the peace, the satisfaction, the fulfillment of having heard the greatest story that the world has ever heard and finding in that the truth to live by. The light to guide you on your path, the way into the future with the newborn King.
Oh,
come to the end of our service. And just to remind you of our Christmas services. On Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock, we'll have a service, especially for children. And at 11 o'clock in the night, we'll have a communion service. And on Christmas Day, we'll have a service at 8 o'clock, a traditional Christmas service. And at 10 o'clock, a family Christmas service. We'll also have teas and coffees and mince pies served, so do please stay. And also to remind you that of our Christmas collection for the work of Kingston Church's Action Against Homelessness. So let's end with a blessing. The joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your hearts and homes this Christmas time. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen. Simon.
It is my joy and privilege to say a big thank you to Lizzie Cronin for training, leading the music this evening.
Thank you.
Making my way through the wires to David Smith for leading us on the piano. And on all our behalf, to our Christmas choir, singers and musicians. Stand up. Bow. And to all of you for coming.